Father, we come before you today to thank you so much for this grace you have given to us, Lord. And Father, for the work that you're going to do in this conference this year, Lord God. Father, we pray for the speakers. We pray, Father, for those that have come to hear your word, Father. Lord, that we would have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying in these last days, which are really exciting days, Lord. Father, give us direction. Give us wisdom and give us knowledge, Lord. That we may serve you with all of our hearts and all of our minds, Lord. That we would be totally surrendered to your will, Father. We thank you for this time you've given us, and we come to you now to ask you just to speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. When they came up with the theme of the book of Daniel, I really got excited because the book of Daniel is probably one of my favorite books, but it's really a book for today. Exactly what's happening today. And my theme this afternoon is Daniel's consecration to God. Let me begin by reading chapter 1, and I'll read the whole chapter, then I'll come back and begin to expound on what the Lord has shown me through Daniel here. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with some of the articles of the house of his God, in which he carried unto the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. And then the king instructed Ahishenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and also in whom they might teach the language of the literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. And now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And to them the chief of the eunuchs gave names, and to Daniel He gave him the name of Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and then to Azariah, Abednego. But for Daniel, purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. And therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, the key verse to this chapter, of course, is verse 8. And in order to understand the historical background to the book of Daniel, and as I was reading, I was thinking of how, you know, today we're living in a time where I want God to use my life, and we're living in a time where God is looking for people that will want to consecrate their lives to God. These are very important days that we're living in. These are days where God is, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro, looking throughout the earth for someone to present himself. And in looking at these things in my life, looking at the book of Daniel, I began to wonder at the perfect timing that God had in bringing Daniel to Babylon, because the whole book of Daniel is backing up the work of God through one man that God used for 70-some years in bringing not only consecrated life that he had, but also bringing prophecy in that man's life through dreams and through visions. And it's incredible because when you go back and you look at the background of this book, you know that there was a time that God was bringing Judah into captivity by bringing judgment upon the southern kingdom. You see, the northern kingdom already had been warned by God for many, many years that God was going to bring judgment upon the nation. But the northern kingdom would not listen. And so what happened is that God used Assyria, and the Assyrians came, and they put a siege against the northern kingdom. And you know that the Assyrians were very wicked, and they were terrible. When they would come, they would humiliate their prisoners. They would strip them totally naked, separate the family members, and then they would put fishhooks on the nose of the people, and they would carry them into a place where they would not know the place where they were going. Total separation. And of course, in the background, this is where the Samaritans also came about. But then Judah on the other side was watching her sister in the northern kingdom being judged. And you would think that through the experience and through the knowledge of God's word and the warnings of God that God brought through the prophets to the northern kingdom, that Judah herself would learn in what God wanted for Judah to be doing at this particular time. And of course, God wanted His people to be consecrated to Him, to have only one God. And as you know, that God took the southern kingdom, Judah, and He allowed Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, to make 3 sieges. This is the first siege when we find Daniel coming to Babylon. The second siege was when Ezekiel the prophet, and the third one was when the walls of Jerusalem were destroyed and the vessels as the temple was burned down, and they brought the vessels with himself. But I think it's important that we look at verse 8, because verse 8 is a very important point here in this afternoon concerning consecration and of course Daniel's consecration. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself." Now Daniel, at this point in time, was a young man. 16, 17, 15, some say 12, 13 years old. We really don't care, but he was a young man. Daniel had become God's appointed man, which God was going to use in the kingdom. Even though God had brought Judah into captivity, Daniel was chosen by God in very difficult days, very difficult times, as God would choose Daniel to consecrate his life, and God would use Daniel as the man of the hour. Not only one time, but many, many times God would begin to use Daniel and to promote him in the kingdom of Babylon. The first thing that happens here, and I come up with a question because I think it's important for all of us to understand this. What kind of a man is God looking for? All of us are in the ministry. And we remember that before God called us into the ministry, that somehow God began to put a desire within our hearts to shepherd the flock of God. But in God asking us to shepherd the flock of God, or in God calling us into the ministry, there are qualifications that have to be met in the ministry for the men of God to minister to the people of God as God will minister to that man of God. For Daniel was a consecrated man of God. God not only had called him, but God had anointed him, and God had used him to make a stand in the king's court. Not to defile himself with the king's table or with anything else, but Daniel as a young man stood and said, "I will not defile myself with the king's table." I think that the definition of consecration is well put by Brooke Foss Westcott. He says, "A mark of a saint is not perfection, but consecration. A saint is not a man without faults, but a man who has given himself without reserve to God, without any reserves." And I think that's a real good definition of the kind of man that God is looking for. A man without reservations. A man that truly wants to serve God with all of his heart and all of his mind. And I know that it is not easy. It is hard. But yet, in verse 8, he says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart. The first word but there is interesting because the word but there identifies his separation from the rest of the people and from the rest of the world. He's not following the flows of the world. He could get up to the king and he could, you know, move up into the kingdom by doing what the king says. But Daniel knows in his heart God's calling, God's anointing. And he realized that God has put him there and God promotes, not men. And so when you think of consecration, you think, scripturally speaking, that it is a separation. A separating myself apart for God so that God can use this earthen vessel for whatever He wants to do with my life. I am His to do as He willeth, not as I willeth. And I think that's something that today we're really lacking in the Church of Jesus Christ. There seems to be men that are compromising in too many areas of their life. Especially men of God. I think it's well put that Daniel decided in his heart that he would be different or set apart for his heavenly master's use. Wholly committed to him, consecrated unto the Lord, fit for the service physically and spiritually. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 through verse 7:1, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Because of this, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty, Shaddai. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." I think that today, as we're living in a generation where now TV commercials, advertising, beer commercials, now instead of using in the 80s the old athletes, they had retired, now they're using young, beautiful people to seduce young people to become alcoholics, to sell their product. And I think that it's come to the time in our lives, in this generation, not to become legalistic, because praise God for His grace, His love and His mercy. But I want to share something with you. We're going to have to make up our minds. Who are we going to serve? What kind of people are we going to be in these last days? Especially when God is looking for people that are consecrated. For you see, the word consecrated means not only holy, not only dedicated, but literally it means that I am to present myself as a sweet-smelling Savior to the Lord. Sweet-smelling Savior to the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 29:31, Hezekiah says, "And then Hezekiah answered and said, And now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near, bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. So the assembly brought in sacrifices and thanks offerings, and many as were a willing heart brought the burnt offerings." You see, God is looking for men that not only want to bring a sacrifice, but men that are consecrated, as the burnt offering was a sacrifice of consecration to God. It doesn't mean we're perfect, because none of us are perfect at all. We're imperfect. But it is true that God, as Daniel says here, He purposed in His heart. He made a decision. He made a stand without compromise, which means He determined and committed Himself not to defile Himself. I don't care if everybody else is doing it. I am not going to do it. He defiled? No. He purposed. Where? in his heart. It's interesting because the word heart, it speaks of his will, of his intellect, it speaks of his emotions, and this speaks of the whole man. Even as in the Old Testament, the priest would come into the temple and he would take the jar of oil and he would take his right thumb and put the oil on his right thumb and then upon the right toe and upon the right ear. It would be a sign of consecration as I put the oil on my ear is so that I can hear the voice of God. In Revelations chapter 2 and 3, 7 times, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We need to have an ear to hear in these last days what God wants to say to us through His Spirit. Upon the putting of the oil on my right toe is so that I can walk in the ways of God in fellowship, in communion with God. Upon my right hand, so that I can do the work of God. And there's a great work to be done as a man consecrates his ears and his feet and his hands. He becomes a whole man committed to God. These are the things that God is looking for. In the book of Psalms 51:10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Psalm 57:7 says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise." Psalm 68:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Psalm 73:1 says, "Truly God is good to Israel and to such as are of a pure heart." Psalm 77:6 says, "I call to remembrance my song in the night, and I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search." And finally, Psalm 86:11 says, "Lord, teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." You see, men who are consecrated unto the Lord are men that become of great value in the kingdom of God in these last days. You see, Daniel was a man who was consecrated unto the Lord. As we look back into the Old Testament at other men that were consecrated, some examples, for example, Joshua. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Total commitment to God. Joshua and Caleb, they said, "Wholly serve the Lord." We see their total obedience with all commandments to God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not intimate communion with God. Abraham, the friend of God, intimate relationship with God. Moses, "Who am I, Lord?" Total humility before God. Paul the Apostle, "I count all things lost for Christ. This one thing I do, total harmony with God." These were men, just like you and I. They were totally consecrated, committed to God. Such men God is looking for today. Such men could be here this morning as God speaks to our own hearts individually. I think it's important, especially being in the ministry, is God had put here Daniel in the center of the camp of Babylon, not only him but his four friends, as they decided not only to commit their life to God and consecrate their lives to God, there are also characteristics in Daniel's life of his consecrated life. For example, Daniel was chosen by God. You see, God chose him as God has chosen you, as God has chosen me. In these last days, out of millions of people in the world, God, through His sovereignty, through His grace, through His love, at the perfect time, chose you and chose me. When I think of my life, that I wasted for so many years, my life, and that God would give me an opportunity to serve Him, and which is the greatest thing that I ever want to do, is serve Him and to know the power of His resurrection. Man, what else can we live for? When we're truly sowing and reaping eternal vases, they're going to last forever. The world does not last forever, but the things that we do for God are the things that God is going to keep us and give us in time to come. You see, also, it's important that within our lives, we understand that even Jesus Himself said this, "If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." And that is the truth. The world hates us. The world does not like people that are consecrated and make a stand for God, and they don't compromise in any way. You see, today we're living in a time where people are compromising through pornography, through going to dirty movies, reading the bad materials. People are living lives and styles of lives in adultery, in fornication, and lying, and cheating. And all the works of the flesh were given to us in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Yet, to such men, as we commit our lives to God, one, God wants us to be men separated unto God so that God can use our lives complete to Himself. Another quality that God is looking for is that Daniel knew God intimately. God was known by Daniel. Daniel spent time with God. It says in Daniel 1:9, "And now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuchs." Why? Because Daniel's relationship with God. God gave him favor. As God gives favor in your own life when you're working for the Lord. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. It comes from the Lord. God takes up one. God puts down the other. We don't have to push and kind of force ourselves into anything. You know, we've been taught to wait upon the Lord. Let the Lord do the work. It says in Psalm 4:3, "But know this, that the Lord has set apart for Himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call him." See, communion with God. It says in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens, and I will be exalted in the earth." Psalm 135:5 says, "For I know that the Lord is great, and our God is above all gods." And Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my anxieties." God wants us to know Him intimately. Secondly, God wants us, as Daniel, to be submissive to His will. Daniel was a man that was totally submitted to God. Being in the ministry and working with men in the ministry, sometimes you learn that men that work in the ministry do not like to submit in ministry. And yet, if we're going to work together in ministry, or if we're pastors, as head pastors, we need to be submissive to God. And as we submit ourselves and our will to the will of God, then others around us are going to see the submission that we have in the kingdom of God with the consecration that we have in Jesus Christ. That's what God says. You see, William Booth says, "The greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender." I think that's important. Jesus said, "If any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Many times we want to be in the ministry, we want to serve God, but we don't want to submit all of our wills to God. And yet Jesus is the greatest example. When He submitted Himself to the will of the Father, as He gave His life for us when He went to the cross. That's the submission that God wants from every one of our lives. You see, my submission to God, James 4:7 says, "Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Another scripture that brings to my mind is my submission to leadership. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." That's another problem. and ministry. Many times because God begins to prosper our ministries, we start getting proud. We start thinking that we're really important people, when yet we're supposed to be servants, consecrated, submissive servants to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is what God is looking for. For it is not myself that I put myself in this position. It is Him that called me. It is Him that can remove me at any time He wants to. But He desires to have my heart. He desires to have my life. You see, another point that I see here in Daniel's life is that Daniel relied on the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of men. He actually relied on the wisdom of God. In Daniel 1:4 and 1:7, he says, "Young men, in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans." And then in Proverbs 1:2 and 3, it says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, and to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity." And then in Proverbs 2:6, it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, for His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." And then in Proverbs 4:5, it says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth, saith the Lord." You see, we need to seek the wisdom of God, especially in the situations we find ourselves today here. We have come here today for the next 4 days so that God can speak to us. But most important, that we will leave here completely different people, so that we can go back as consecrated people of God and God can begin to use my life. Another quality that I see in Daniel is that Daniel restrained his appetites. He restrained his appetites. And now it's important because as we look around today, we see that a lot of people do not know how to restrain their appetites, especially those things of the flesh. There seems to be a warfare, we know that. It says in the book of Ephesians 6:10, he says what? "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness." We are in a warfare. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. It's a battle. It's a battle because Satan and his adversaries know that we are trying to what? We are trying to restrain ourselves to the appetites of the flesh, but yet to give myself to the appetites of the kingdom of God. Total submission and surrender. And blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. God wants that in our lives. Another qualification in Daniel's life is that Daniel was to be well-groomed. God uses people. You see? And then when you look at Daniel's life, you have to also ask the question, you know, taking not only care of himself physically, emotionally, but most important, spiritually. Spiritually, in the kingdom of God. And then, Daniel was a man of prayer. A man of prayer. Listen to what he says in Daniel 2:18. You don't have to turn to it. "That they might seek the mercies from the God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." In Daniel 6:10, he prays again. "And now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day. And then he prayed and he gave thanks before his God, and was accustomed since early days." And then Daniel 9:3 and 4, as Daniel begins to pray, God is going to do a whole new work right before they get out of captivity. God speaks to him. He prays. "And then I, Daniel, set my face towards the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fastings, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God. And I made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandments." Daniel 9:13, "It is as it is written in the law of Moses, all their disasters has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the God, the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand Your truth." Daniel 9:17, "And now therefore, O Lord God, hear the prayer of Your servant and in supplications, as for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. And then finally, Daniel 9:21, listen what he says. And yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And what happened? God spoke to him. You see, we need to be men of communion, men of prayer. Acts chapter 6, he says, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the word. If we don't pray, then what fellowship, what communion can we really have from God? Daniel was a man of prayer, but also Daniel was a man of obedience. He obeyed what God said, not just in the little things, not just in the big things, but in all things, Daniel consecrated his life to obedience. And then my final point is this, that because Daniel was such a consecrated person, we have some results of his consecration to God. God will use a man that sets himself apart wholly unto the Lord to the fullest of that man's, or to the fullest of that man's God-given abilities. For example, Daniel was a man which God gave dreams to. Another thing about Daniel is that God gave him the interpretation to those dreams. And then finally, Daniel was a man of prophecy. God used this man not only to turn one kingdom around, but God used him for several kingdoms. And even as God today wants to use your life and my life, He wants us to reckon the old man to be dead, but to be alive in Jesus Christ. God is looking throughout this auditorium this week for men that want in these last days to be men and women of consecration to God. Father, we come before You this afternoon, Lord. We thank You so much for Your grace and for Your love and for Your mercies. And Lord, we pray that as we consecrate our hands and our feet and our eyes and ears, Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, that You would continue to move in us and to work through us, Lord. Father, anoint Chuck and the rest of the speakers. Anoint those that are here today, Father. Lord, we pray that by the time we leave here on Thursday, Lord God, we would be renewed, but we would be new people. Father, to go out into a world that is so dark that we would become so bright through Your Spirit. Lord, that You would get the victory. We thank You for Your love and grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. If you would like further information on tapes or a free catalog, contact Chapel Tapes at P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628.